For some of us, this coming week is spring break. You can't steal my shine today. It's spring break. And if it's not spring break for you, then you should have been a teacher. And nothing I can do about that for you. But listen, I am excited today to get up here and talk a little bit today and bring the word. We're talking specifically about one of our key principles at New Life Church, and that is the idea of being Holy Spirit filled. They're going to put this up here for me. This is our statement of faith on this. It says, we value the filling of the Holy Spirit to guide us, empower us, inspire us, and produce in us God's character and love to be his witnesses in all the earth. That is our portion of statement of faith that talks about the Holy Spirit. And so I love talking about the Holy Spirit. I think part of the reason that I love it so much is because I misunderstood it for so much of my life growing up. I misunderstood what the Holy Spirit was all about. And so I love teaching and talking about the Holy Spirit because it is essential to my life. It is essential to my well-being. It is essential to getting through every single day and every single moment is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been the most reliable relationship that I have ever had here on earth. Is the Holy Spirit always with me? And we sang about it this morning. What we know about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit was present from the moment, the beginning of creation. We read about in Genesis about how the Spirit hovered over the waters. We know that the Holy Spirit has always been there. Always been there. We have these moments scattered throughout Scripture where the Holy Spirit is talked about. And we know that the Holy Spirit has always been around. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30, we're going to start with this verse today. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Catch in here this little part where it says, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given. The Holy Spirit was witness to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Now, how many of you would rather have a firsthand eyewitness account than somebody three times removed? Y'all ever have? And you're like, I don't think you were there. You know, I don't think you were there. It's kind of like a three-year-old trying to tell you what happened. And you're like, that doesn't quite sound right. You know, like it just doesn't quite fit. And so there's something to be said for a firsthand witness account, right? Someone who was actually in the room where it happened, to quote Hamilton for those of you who caught that. He was in the room where it happened. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning, all through the middle, and he was there for the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And so what he tells us here is, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. What we know here is that they are telling us that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a firsthand account witness to who God is and what he has done. And we get to keep that witness with us. He was there, now he's with us. You know, there's a comfort that comes from knowing something. Guidance comes from knowing, right? My mom was talking about this yesterday. Her sister and her can't figure out how to get something to work on their TV, and they needed a 13-year-old to come and fix it, right? They needed the guidance of a 13-year-old. If your iPhone is not working, you are going to find someone who is young, right? You need their guidance because why? They know. It's all they know, right? Now you hand them a rotary phone and they're not going to know what to do with it. You hand them a cassette tape and they can't figure it out, right? They weren't there for it, but you were, right? And so we have this realization here that comfort and guidance comes from someone who knows. And when it comes to life and living, we don't know much. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. And He has given us the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you, this is why there are times, if you truly are a believer of Jesus Christ, those times when you have peace, when it does not make sense, it is because you don't have peace. It's the Holy Spirit in you that knows that brings you peace. Peace in the midst of unimaginable circumstances comes from the Holy Spirit in you, not from your own flesh. Your own flesh doesn't know much, but the Holy Spirit does. And it is a gift that God has given you. It is a gift that Jesus sent to us so that we would always have the comfort, the guidance, the knowing of the Advocate with us at all times. I want to look at four specific ways that the Holy Spirit is with us, and these come straight from our statement of faith on the Holy Spirit. The first one is guidance. The word guidance means to advise or show the way. To advise or show the way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." In accordance with the will of God. We don't know what to pray, so the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and always in accordance with God's will. Let me tell you something. Is it God's will? Well, it will not go against God. That's one way to know. Test and approve what the will of God is. It will not go against His word. But there are days and there are times when we do not know what to pray. Have you been there? Where you don't, I got nothing. I tell this to people all the time. I've struggled and wrestled my whole life with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Truly because I saw it misused when I was young. And I questioned its validity. And there was a period of time where that was not a part of my life. Because I didn't trust it within myself. And I will tell you very clearly the night in which the Holy Spirit interceded for me in groans that I could not understand. It was the night that Angelique had her heart attack. And I got a phone call that said, "Angelique's had a heart attack and things are not going well. You need to get to the hospital." And I remember getting in my car and not knowing what to pray. I did not know what to pray. I did not have the words. Because in my flesh, all I was thinking is, this is my friend. This is Lorene's daughter. This is Mike's sister. And most importantly, this is Victoria's mom. And I did not know what to pray. And in that moment, in my car, it had not happened for years and years, there began to be a Holy Spirit groaning of words that I did not know that began to flow out of me for the entirety that it took to get from Westwood Avenue to the old regional hospital. And I remember getting there and parking and saying, "I can't talk like this when I go in the building." And the moment I stepped out of the car and closed the door, the groanings and the moans and the crying out to God in the Spirit stopped. There are times when we don't know what to pray. And sometimes that may come in the evidence of speaking in tongues and in your personal prayer language. And in other times it may come in tears and sobs and bruised knees or hearts that are just broken and saying out loud, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus."
But the moment the Holy Spirit is in you, you have an advocate, and that advocate intercedes for you. When you don't know what to pray, because the Holy Spirit, as is being God, cannot pray out of the will of God. So if I don't know, God, what is your will? The Holy Spirit does. And so he intercedes for us. You do not have to pray perfect prayers. Sometimes the only prayer that we have is, God, I don't know, but you do. As Jesus prayed, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Because that's all sometimes that we can do. Trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you, advise you, and show you the way. Because he only operates according to the will of God. He cannot operate outside of it. And so when you have that moment, when you are beginning to go away and you don't know that this is the right way, check with the Holy Spirit. Is he pulling you a different direction? The next way is to empower. That word empower means to give authority. People love authority. Authority and power are not the same thing. To empower means to give authority. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When you are empowered, you are able to stand firm. If you lack that sense of knowing who you are in Christ, you will find yourself shaky and not firm in your standing. Because the world is full of storms that are trying to knock you off balance, knock you off your path. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to you as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's empowering you to stand firm. Standing firm by knowing that you have been worthy enough for God's Spirit to be deposited in. We don't deposit our money into the bank of John so-and-so. We deposit our money into a real bank. If I have big money, I'm not asking my sons to hold it for me. Nope. They haven't been able to keep $5 in their pocket for more than 24 hours since the first day they were born. Right? I want to put my money somewhere where I know it's going to be safe, and I know there's going to be a return on it. So when Jesus chose to put his Spirit in you, it was as a deposit guaranteeing what would come. You are a worthy place for him to invest himself. You are worthy of God investing himself in you. You are a worthy place for his Spirit to be. Even with all your faults and all your failures and all your mistakes, he looks at you and sees a worthy place to put his Spirit. And that knowledge, that confidence of knowing that God sees me as worthy and valuable, will give you the empowerment to stand firm in the face of any situation that comes your way. Knowing that you have been anointed and sealed by God. Sealed by God. In the ancient Near East, there was no such thing as a digital signature. It was an actual seal dipped in wax. You can trace them. Each individual ruler and governor and over every area had a unique seal. And when you sealed something, it meant that it had the authority of the person who sealed it. So when Jesus says here, when this word is spoken and it says that you have been anointed and you have been sealed with a deposit of the Holy Spirit, it is that the Lord has put his seal on you, saying this person is a worthy chosen investment, and you can have the confidence to stand firm in who God has made you to be and in your purpose and your calling and in your faith, because he has seen you and anointed you and he has sealed you. He has sealed you. The next is inspire. Inspire. To fill with urge or ability. I love listening to speakers who are good speakers, because they fill you with a sense of ability to go out and face the world and a sense of urgency to do what needs to be done. It's why when we listen to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that we feel an urgency, because they have that power to inspire us. The Holy Spirit has the power to inspire us with urgency for what is to come. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God fills you with joy and peace so that you will overflow with hope. This is what I'm telling you. The truth of the matter is as believers of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to guide us, to direct us, to give us the strength to stand firm in the face of so many trials and circumstances. And we have a supernatural, unexplainable hope that comes not from the circumstances of our life, but from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is not my home. And while I am here, I am empowered and equipped to do what God tells me to do. But ultimately, I know that my home is in heaven. And so while I am here, I can have an unfathomable joy and peace and hope overflowing out of me, inspired by the Holy Spirit and not my circumstance. Because that's what he gives me. It is for us to have the Holy Spirit in us. But ultimately, this guidance and empowerment and inspiration is for a purpose. And that's the hard part. It's the producing of Christ-like character in our lives. That word produce means to cause to happen, to make. How many of you like to be made to do something? Nobody. No takers? Right? But here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit is in us, then it will produce in us God-like character. So as I read through some of this, your toes can be stepped on right with mine. From Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other." The Spirit in us, pause here, listen, the Spirit of God in us will be at conflict with the flesh that we walk and live in every day. They're the odd couple roommates. One is messy and gross. One has it together. And they are at odds with each other Our flesh will want what it should not have, but the Holy Spirit will guide us, empower us, and inspire us to live the way God has called us to live. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Those are the ones we like to talk about. Now let's get to some of the other ones. Idolatry, witchcraft, look it up. It's not just about witches. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you as I did before, but those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Produce Christ-like character in us. Christ-like character starts out as serving in love. Loving your neighbor is the whole law. It's the whole law. Is this right? Does it show love to my neighbor? And this goes from everything, too, that we consider personal or private sins. Because even if they are personal or private, they still do not show love to the people we're married to our children, to our community, to other people in this world. So we must ask ourselves, is this showing love to our neighbor in any way? Because loving our neighbor is the complete fulfillment of the law. The Holy Spirit knows what's right and wrong, so you can too. And I'm going to be real, you do. We do. We know what's right and wrong. And it's so much simpler than we make it, but we know it. We know right from wrong. And it is very easy to focus on some of the things in that list that are visible to the world and are easy to discuss. But the things that it talks about, such as idolatry, anything elevated above Christ, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions and factions, envy. These things eat away our souls. And they pull us further and further away from who Christ has called us to be. Because they are in conflict with the Spirit of God in us. They are in conflict. And the truth is, we know it. The thing we have to ask ourselves is, what is being elevated in our spirit? What is rising to the top of my spirit every day? Is impurity and idolatry and hatred rising to the top of my spirit every day? Because it will flare. But is it what's rising to the top of my spirit every day? Because let me tell you something, what combats and comes against idolatry and hatred and discord and selfish ambition is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I know, it's super quiet. I told you I was no fun to write out, so it's no fun for anybody to hear. Let me tell you something. It is hard to give our life over to the control of the Holy Spirit when our flesh loves to drive. And so we have to know that we are equipped and that God saw it as possible, or he would not have wasted his Spirit on you. He saw in each and every one of us that there is the ability to call upon his name and to do what we need to do. But we have to be cautious, because here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Is we can resist it. In Acts chapter 7, we have the message of Stephen, the first martyr who is recorded in the Bible. Stephen was a chosen leader within the church. And people began to lie about him, began to misrepresent him. And the people who were followers, led in fact by Saul, would pull him out, prepared to stone him. And he would begin to speak the truth to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 7:51, he says this to them, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." We are capable of resisting the Holy Spirit, especially when it doesn't fit what we want, what we think, or when what we're dealing with causes fear in us. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We have the choice to decide. And so we have to be cautious. We have to lean in to the Holy Spirit. We must value the gift of the Holy Spirit, his guidance and his empowerment and his inspiration. Because we have to know that the goal of the Holy Spirit is to produce Christ-like character in us, not for our exalting, but for his. I'm going to ask Megan to come, and we're going to end today just singing, "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." And this song is a great song, and I think a lot of times when we sing it, we think about here, in this place. Here in this corporate worship, Holy Spirit, be here for us, right? And here's the reality. The Holy Spirit's like, woo, right here, right here. Hi, hello, right here. He is here. And so when we are saying, "Welcome, Holy Spirit," it's not about asking the Holy Spirit to be here. He's already here. It's about welcoming him. There's a difference in having someone in your house and welcoming them in your house. There's a difference. You know what it means to walk into a home and be welcomed there. Because there's a place made for you. There's a space made for you. Now, if you come to my house, I'm going to welcome you by moving stuff out of a chair and telling you that's your chair. Because that's all there is. You can ask my mom, that's what happened. I moved some stuff out of a chair. I was like, don't go anywhere from here. That's your spot. Right? But you know, there's other homes in here. I talk about Miss Tina's house all the time because it's so the opposite of mine. But you know, when you walk into her home, like, you can smell the food being cooked for you. And Thomas has got a fire going. And you will find yourself sitting. And next thing you know, you will have been there so long that you wonder if there's a bed made for you. And if you needed it, there would be. Right? Because you're welcome there. And so when we sing this song, we are not asking the Holy Spirit to show up. Like, hey, who all over there? Come on over here. It's not putting him on the list to the party of our life. It's acknowledging that he is here and welcoming him in and not resisting his presence. We are welcoming him into our life. The truth is, I need guidance. I don't know which way to go all the time. I do not know how to handle every situation. There are things that baffle my mind. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to stand firm on days when I feel weak. I need the Holy Spirit to intercede for me. I need the Holy Spirit to stand me up. I need the Holy Spirit to remind me that I am anointed and sealed by God. I need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to urge me and give me the ability to live this life. I need the Holy Spirit's inspiration to fill me with joy and peace in a world that is absent of both. Because true joy and true peace does not exist apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a searching and a looking, but there is only one way to have true peace and true joy, and it is through the Holy Spirit, and it will fill you to the place where hope will overflow out of you. And I know that I need his help to have Christ-like behavior, Christ-like identity, Christ-like character. I need the Holy Spirit. Because I am not always patient or kind or gentle. But the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this to you today. I want to tell you and share this truly and honestly. I make jokes about myself all the time, and so do my friends, right? That, like, I'm pretty no-nonsense. And I'm pretty strong. And I don't really back down very easily from things. But there is more gentleness in me and patience and long suffering than there has any right to be based off of who I am. It is only because of the Holy Spirit. I know who I am. I know. I have been in that moment face to face with another human being who is cutting me down, who is speaking things about me, who is to my face putting me down. And everything within my flesh tells me I can cut this person down right now. I know what my flesh can do. I know what my words can do. I know that I have within me the ability to bring harm and speak death on other people. That is a part of my flesh person in me. But the Holy Spirit, and this is no testament to me, but only to the Holy Spirit, that I know what my weaknesses are. I know where my flesh fails. I know my imperfections. There is no mystery to me. You will not see me and think, oh man, yeah, you're a pastor? No, I don't pretend to be anything perfect. This world has a misconception and a whole lot of people walking around hurt and broken by the church because pastors and leaders stood up and pretended to have themselves together when they did not. I am no perfect person. Pastor Jeremy is not. There have been people who have walked out this door because they did not like the fact that we spoke with honesty about our own failures. Let me tell you something. If you want perfection, you will not find it here, but you will also not find a pretending to be, because I know who I am. And absent the anointing and sealing of the Holy Spirit, I am lost and I am broken. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was not there the day that it happened, but the witness who was lives in me. And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that despite my failures, and despite my weaknesses and my frailties, and despite the harshness of this world and the brokenness of our world. And despite all of it, because the witness who was there and hovered upon the waters at the creation of the universe, because the witness who came down and spoke and landed on the face of Jesus as he was baptized to begin his ministry, because the witness who saw the miracles and the witness who was there at the death, burial, and resurrection, because the witness who he sent to live inside of me lives inside of me, I know that it is Jesus and him crucified. There is no perfection in us. There is only the Holy Spirit. There will be days we fail, and he will still be there. And so, we walk by the Spirit. We love our neighbor. We test and approve the will of God. We let him pray for us when we cannot pray for ourselves. We stand firm and believe in the worthiness that God has given us to give us his Spirit. And we overflow with hope in the face of all adversity because the witness has been given to us. All we have to do is listen. So today, as we close out and we begin to sing this song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. When we begin to sing that, sing out those phrases, we are not inviting someone on the outside to come in. We are asking that the one who is on the inside would be welcomed and revealed in our life. Come in and flood this place. Fill this atmosphere, God. Let your Holy Spirit be welcome here. Because it is here and it is in you and it is valued. So listen today, if you feel the need to stand and you want to worship that way, you can. If you want to just close your eyes where you're at and pray, if you want to kneel, whatever that you want to do, just for a moment, let us lay aside every distraction and just ask the Holy Spirit to be welcome here. Lord, we come before you today. Lord, our flesh is weak and it is contrary to you, but God, you have seen us as worthy. And you have chosen to give us your Holy Spirit. Father, today I ask that those in here who are in need of your guidance, who are in need of your strength, Lord, those who don't even know how to pray for what it is that they are facing, that God, you would begin in your Holy Spirit to intercede for them, to intercede for what they are going through. Let every cry and tear and groan be the Holy Spirit pouring out prayers for them and giving them and directing them as they need, God. Let your Holy Spirit guide them. Lord, those today that are in need of empowerment, that feel weak, Lord, that feel like they are not worthy, God, I pray that you would begin to empower them through the Holy Spirit to stand firm in the face of everything that they may face. Let them be confident in knowing who they are in Jesus Christ. Lord, those who need inspiration today, who are lacking joy and hope in the face of uncertainty, God, I pray that you would inspire them through your Holy Spirit, that they would begin to overflow with hope from a well that no one even understands where it comes from, God. Let your joy and peace and hope overflow in them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, those who are wrestling with their flesh, which is all of us, God, let us not resist you, but accept you. And may we begin to pursue the fulfillment of your law through love. May we begin to walk in peace and forbearance and love and kindness and gentleness. God, let your Spirit and the fruit of who you are begin to be produced in us. Lord, I pray today that the Spirit, as you said it would in John 16, that your Spirit would guide us in all truth. Let your spirit be welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.